Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. Whether you are joining us online or you're here in the sanctuary, we're glad that you're here today and we hope that you will experience God's welcome and God's grace. If you are visiting with us, or even if you're not, we invite you to register your attendance. There should be registration pads at the end of each pew. We invite you to fill those out and pass them down. And if you're joining us online, we invite you to follow the link in the chat to register your attendance. If you're a visitor, we're really glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll give us some contact information so our hospitality team can be in touch with you. Vacation Bible School starts a week from tomorrow, and we are excited to welcome children for a week of fun and learning Bible stories. Today is the last day to register, so if you're planning and hoping that your child can go to Vacation Bible School, we encourage you to register today so that they can do that. There is more information in the inserts in your bulletin. Today begins our four-week intergenerational summer Sunday school class called Wild Wonder. We'll be meeting in McWhirter Hall right after this service, so it's right below the sanctuary here. And this is a class for rising first graders through all ages of children above that, youth and all ages of adults. It's a way for us to kind of get out of our age groups a little bit and interact with one another across the generations. So we invite you to come and explore Wild Wonder with us. Finally, we are in need of some summer Sunday school teachers for children. For this month, preschool age, we need a few more teachers for the next several weeks. And then beginning in July, we need teachers for all ages. This allows our regular school year Sunday school teachers to have a break for the summer. So if you're able to just even teach for one Sunday, that would be wonderful. You can contact Maggie Jarrell, or there's also more information in the bulletin insert. And now let us prepare our hearts and our minds to worship God this morning.
Oh, Today we rejoice that the God of hope goes with us every day, filling our lives with love and joy and peace. May the God of justice speed us on our way, bringing light and hope to every land and face. Praying, let us work for peace. Singing, share our joy with all. Working for a world that's new. Faithful when we hear Christ's call. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Shall we pray? Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange with one another here in the sanctuary or online signs of reconciliation and love. So the peace of Christ be with you.
And minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. This is a lesson from the Old Testament, the book of Esther, chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went through the city, wailing with a loud and bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. In every province, wherever the king's command and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and most of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's maids and her eunuchs came and told her, the queen was deeply distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai so that he might take off his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called for Hatak, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what was happening and why. Hatak went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show it to Esther, explain it to her, and charge her to go to the king to make supplication to him and entreat him for her people. Hatak went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hatak and gave him a message for Mordecai, saying, All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law. All alike are to be put to death. Only if the king holds out the golden scepter to someone may that person live. I myself have not been called to come into the king for 30 days. When they told Mordecai what Esther had said, Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter, but you and your family's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this." Then Esther said in reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. After that, I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward, and because the center's closed there, you're going to have to come around this way. And if you're with us online, you can come a little closer to your screen. Hi, everybody. Come on around. It's good to see all of you. You know, when I'm looking out, I don't always see all of you sitting there. I think I see the adults sitting up there. I didn't realize there were so many of you here this morning. It's awesome. Come on over.
I got a
Band-Aid. Ooh, did you get a boo-boo? Well, in the scripture that Miss Irwin read this morning, she was talking about Queen Esther. Now, Queen Esther's cousin, Mordecai, asked her to do something and be very brave and do something really hard. And you know what she said? "No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be brave, and I don't want to do that hard thing." But then she remembered that she had a whole community of people who loved her and who were supporting her and who were praying for her. And that helped her to have the courage to do the brave thing. And she saved her people. Sometimes we have to do things that are hard. Sometimes we do things that are hard so that we can help other people. And sometimes we have to be brave. Do you see all those people out there? And all those people up there? All of those people have made promises that they're going to love you and care for you and support you and pray for you. So when something hard comes up that you have to do, when you have to be brave, or when you want to help others, remember that God is always with you. And remember that you have a whole community of people who are supporting you and praying for you. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are always with us, even when we have to be brave, even when we have to do hard things. Even when we want to help others, you are with us. And we thank you for the community of people who love us and support us and pray for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Derek to Children's Church. Otherwise, you can go back to your seats. Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Esther was an unlikely queen, and an even more unlikely leader. If you're not familiar with her story, or if you haven't read it in a while, Esther was a Jewish orphan living in the Persian capital city of Susa. In the words of scholar Amy Oden, Esther was a resident alien. She was a foreigner and a member of this peculiar tribe, the Jews, that the Persians tolerated unevenly. As an orphan and a female, Oden says, Esther was a nobody among nobodies. She was a nobody among nobodies in this minority community. She was taken in and raised by her cousin Mordecai, who was a servant of the king. One day, Queen Vashti, the queen of Persia, dared to disobey her husband because he called her to come to a banquet. He cast her out, and then he began to search for a new queen. During the search, Esther earned the favor of the eunuch who was in charge of the women. He offered her advice about what to bring with her when she was sent to the king, and she only took what he advised. She followed his advice to the T. Well, the king did fall in love with Esther, and he made her queen. But Mordecai told Esther not to tell the king about her Jewish heritage, and the text says that she obeyed in the same way that she had obeyed him when he was raising her. So in the early part of Esther's story, we get the sense that her personality was a direct contrast to Vashti. She was submissive and obedient. She wasn't going to rock the boat, but she would simply do what she was told. After a while, the king promoted a man named Haman and commanded that all of his servants bow down to Haman. But Mordecai refused, and he quickly found himself the target of Haman's wrath. Instead of just killing Mordecai, though, Haman plotted to have all of the Jews killed, men, women, and children. He convinced the king that the Jews were not following the king's law, and as we already discovered with Vashti's story, the king did not tolerate disobedience very well. So along with an offer of money from Haman, the king agreed to issue a decree that all of the Jews in the kingdom should be killed. And this is where we pick up the story this morning that Erwin read. Mordecai is in distress. He's wailing and crying. He's wearing sackcloth and ashes. He is grieving for himself and for his people. And when Esther hears about it, she tries to send him clothes so that he can take off his sackcloth. But Mordecai refuses. And he sends back word about what Haman has plotted. He tells Esther that she must beg mercy from the king on behalf of her people. One scholar points out that Mordecai assumes that Esther's just going to do what he tells her to do. After all, until now, she's always done what those around her have asked, particularly Mordecai. She is the obedient and submissive queen. But instead, Esther responds that she hasn't been invited to the king's inner court for 30 days. In other words, her influence with the king seems to be waning, and it is against the law to go into the king without being summoned. In fact, it is a death sentence, unless the king holds out his golden scepter. In effect, Esther tells Mordecai, no, it is too dangerous. What he's asking is too much. But then Mordecai reminds Esther that she too is a Jew, and she is no more safe from this threat than any of the other Jewish people. If you keep silent at this time, he says, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come into royal dignity for just such a time as this. This call from Mordecai reminds Esther that she is part of a community, that her well-being is bound up with the well-being of her people. that they are responsible for one another because they belong to one another. And so Esther, this obedient and submissive queen, answers the call, and she steps into leadership for the sake of her people. A week or so ago, I was cleaning out my files, and after 15 years of ministry, I have a lot of files. But I came across an article that I had saved entitled Leadership for the Timid. The author, David Barnhart, is a United Methodist pastor, and he talks about how he's never really resonated with business books about leadership. He says that leadership culture reminds him of a particular gym coach he once had who would yell like a drill sergeant, "Are you going to be a leader or a follower?" Barnhart says, when he talked about leadership, I did not feel inspired. He says, I felt inadequate. This should have been a clue, he says. Good leadership doesn't make 10-year-olds feel inadequate. Barnhart says that he often still feels like the kid who's picked last for kickball and who's anxious about sitting alone at lunchtime. But he's learned that the world isn't neatly divided into leaders and followers. There's more than one way to be a leader. He's learned that what he calls his geeky attributes are actually some of his best leadership qualities. He says, I lead primarily by learning and teaching, but I also lead with empathy and relational skills. I have a tendency to seek out other kids sitting alone at lunchtime. My strength, he says, is in building communities in which I would feel welcome. And Esther's strength, as it turns out, is in summoning the support of her own community so that she can do the brave and hard thing on behalf of others. She steps into leadership by sending word to Mordecai to gather all of the Jews in Susa and to hold a fast on her behalf. She and her maids will also fast, and after 3 days, she will approach the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, she says, I perish. And then in a role reversal, Mordecai goes and does everything Esther has ordered him to do. And in the end, Haman is defeated. Esther saves her people, not only because of her personal courage, but also because she is able to recognize the importance and the strength of her community. In her sermon last week, Carol talked about some of the current needs in Nashville, from homelessness to children's reading scores. She reminded us that those unhoused people are our neighbors, and those children are our children. They're part of our community. She said that it's time to begin asking how God can use West End to do more, to build up this city. And I think she's right. A couple of months ago, we were gathered with a group of clergy to hear a State of Nashville report. This was a report that was compiled by Operation Andrew Group in partnership with the Barna and Karras Foundations. And it was based on surveys of churched and unchurched people in the greater Nashville area. Survey respondents were asked a variety of questions, but one of the things they were asked was what they would like to see churches make an impact in. What are the things that the church should be focused on? And here are some of the highest responses that people gave. Homelessness, poverty and hunger, mental illness, suicide, and domestic violence. 74% of people surveyed said they think the church should play an active role in racial reconciliation. And 96% said that educational equity is important. Those are big challenges, big problems to be solved for sure. But you know, one of the most disheartening statistics to me in that report was this. Just 37% of practicing Christians in Nashville volunteer on a regular basis. 37%. It's even less for the general population, so at least Christians are volunteering a little bit more, but 37%. And we live in the volunteer state. I would like to think that United Methodists would represent a higher percentage than that. But it is a good reminder to us that sometimes, like Esther, our first response to the needs of others is no. We don't think we can make a difference, or the obstacles seem insurmountable, or perhaps sometimes we just feel like we have too much to lose and not enough to gain, and it's not worth the risk. Sometimes, like Esther, we need to be reminded that we belong to a community, that our well-being is bound up in the well-being of our neighbors, that we are responsible for one another because we belong to one another. Sometimes we need to be reminded that we are the body of Christ. That in the words of Teresa of Avila, Christ has no body but ours. No hands, no feet on earth but ours. We are the body of Christ. You know, for the past 8 years, I have seen you, the body of Christ at West End, I have seen you respond to God's call to leadership, to do brave and hard things on behalf of others. I have seen you declare unreservedly that God loves everyone unconditionally. And I've seen you live that out in your hospitality, in your ministries with children and youth and young adults, at pride festivals, at death penalty demonstrations and gun reform rallies. I've seen you cultivate beauty through music and art and theater productions, even through the handicrafts of knitting and crocheting, and you have shared all of that beauty with our neighbors. I've seen you care for the most vulnerable among us through the Sunny Day Club and Creation Care and Project Transformation, through Christmas gifts for foster children and through the Quiet Place, and those are just some of the highlights. In a season when so many churches are hanging on for dear life, you, the body of Christ at West End, you are sitting in a place of privilege. You are in possession of an incredible number of resources, and I'm not just talking about financial assets, although you're doing really well in that department as well. But you also have a deep well of wisdom and knowledge, of talent and skill and creativity, of compassion and unconditional love. And these are all resources that our city desperately needs. Perhaps, like Esther, you, the body of Christ at West End, are being called to continue to step into leadership in this city, to move the needle on homelessness and poverty, on mental health and suicide and domestic violence, to do the hard, hard work of racial reconciliation, and to make sure that all children have access to equitable education. Perhaps, like Esther, you will be able to garner the strength and the support of this community and do brave and hard things on behalf of others. Who knows? Perhaps you have come into your 150th year for just such a time as this. May it be so.
We give thanks today for Erin and her ministry and witness in our midst. We'll have some time at the end of the service to pray for her as she begins a new journey. But inspired by her words and her faith, I invite all of us to stand in body or in spirit and let us profess our faith together in our affirmation of faith that can be found on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Erin has reminded us that we are part of a praying community that prays with and for one another and with and for our community and our world. And as we enter into this time of prayer together, I would invite you to share your spoken and silent prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team, here in the sanctuary, there are prayer cards in the pew racks in front of you. If you will mark these cards and let us know if you'd like us to keep it confidential or share it on our published prayer list in the insert, that would be helpful to us. If you're worshiping with us online, you can go to our website, to the Contact Us placed on that website, and share your prayer concerns there. Your pastors meet every Monday afternoon to pray for each and every one of these concerns. Let us now gather our hearts and minds in a time of prayer together. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, we give you thanks this day for all those who have gone before us, for those who, like Esther long ago, had the courage to stand up and do what you called them to do, no matter the cost. We admire their courage. We want to be like them. We want to be your faithful people in such a time as this. Empower us to work every day for the building of your kingdom, to make this world in our time more just, more loving, more kind. In the silence, give us discernment to see where you are calling us to go together as a congregation. As we dedicate ourselves to your work in the world, we're grateful for this time to come together, to worship you and express our thanks, to be seen and known and loved, to share our burdens, to come to your table and receive your grace, to have our spirits filled with your Holy Spirit. Hear our prayers in this time, O God, as in the silence we offer to you all of those burdens and longings and needs that are on our hearts this day. Trusting that you are a God of healing, hope, and new life, we offer these prayers to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is now time for us to gather our gifts, our offerings, and our tithes and offer them to God in this time of worship. Those of you joining us online are welcome to use the give via the options listed on the screen. While in the sanctuary, we'll be passing the plates among us. May we now give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
right, and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Please be seated. Holy are you, O God, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save our people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, broke it, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In our United Methodist tradition, this is an open table. Everyone is invited to this table. Doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what you've done or what you haven't done, you are welcome here. As we are served, we invite you to come forward via the center aisle. The choir will be served first, and then those in the balcony and the transepts will come forward, and finally those of you in the nave can come forward. We invite you to kneel as you're able, or stand if you'd rather not, and hold out your hands to receive the bread and the cup. All of our elements are gluten-free this morning. You're welcome to stay and pray as long as you'd like. Just hold your hands so the folks know that you have already been served. If you need to be served in your pew, I will be coming around, so just look for me and raise your hand, and I will be glad to serve you. We always take a communion offering, and our communion offering for June is for the good work of Open Table Nashville. It is a nonprofit interfaith community that disrupts cycles of poverty. It journeys with the marginalized and provides education about issues of homelessness. We support them by paying a portion of the salary for their West Side outreach worker, to whom we refer people in chronic homelessness who need things like an ID, a birth certificate, and housing. When Quiet Place is open, they meet guests here at the church, but they also meet people where they are by going out to camps to make sure that our neighbors who live outside have the basic necessities. Our goal this month is to get $3,000 to finish our $10,000 annual commitment to the outreach worker position. So please be generous. Friends, this is the body of Christ. It is broken and given in love that you might know God's grace. And this is the cup of salvation, poured out for you and for me in love that we might receive God's grace. Everything is ready. Please come. have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen.
We're going to take a moment to pray for Erin as she prepares this new ministry called The Vine. It's part of our United Methodist outreach in these days. Do you want to come around? And as she's coming around to kneel at the altar here, I would invite any of you who feel especially led, if you've worked with Erin or just feel led by the Spirit, to pray for her to come forward and lay hands on her with me. We'll just take a few minutes to pray for her as a congregation. Erin has been with us on this staff for 8 years. She actually served as an intern in ministry during her time at Vanderbilt Divinity School prior to that. And so we have fallen in love with her and her family, and we grieve to see you go, but we are also trusting that God is with you and leading you on to new things. So let us pray together. Loving God, it is never easy to part with one another, especially when we have journeyed side by side for many years. We have been through ups and downs and a pandemic and all of the things that have been thrown at us over the past few years. And yet Erin's steadiness and love and gracious presence has helped us all experience your peace and your presence. We thank you for the many, many gifts you have bestowed upon her. We thank you for the ways that your Spirit has worked through her to bless us as a congregation, to bless this community. And now, as it becomes time for her to step out in a new direction, called by you to serve in a different place, in a different way, we offer our thanksgiving and our blessing. We pray that your Spirit will continue to work within her in new and powerful ways, that others who may be strangers to us will know you through her. Be with her and her family in this season of change, and may your Spirit ever keep us connected in your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Erin to stand at the Reed Hall door so you will all have a chance to give her a hug and thank her. She will be with us next Sunday as well, though not up front. We're having a reception for her during the Sunday School Hour next Sunday, so be sure and be here for that as well. Let us now stand and join in our closing hymn.
are the body of Christ. Christ has no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Go forth with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace.